share many happy times this day.
Thank you.
Many happy Krishna conscious with them.
Thank you very much.
And this will help.
It was actually unused, but Hemanga suggested that I just wear it on the duty. No, it's not. Hare Krishna. The cake is ready. Okay. Then maybe you can go upstairs. What are you doing?
Recording it, Gar.
Okay. So today is Shyamananda's birthday, Shyamananda Krishna's Dasa's birthday. Maybe we can go upstairs, that'll be better. It'll be uninterrupted. When did you join Shyamananda?
87.
Bhaktivedanta Manor. And you were also teaching in the Gurukul those days. Gauridas was the headmaster.
Atmananda,
okay. And that's where I met him first. And then eventually Shyamananda joined me, first in Mayapur. I got him to, it was in 91, I think, yeah, that he came to Mayapur.
92.
I got involved in Mayapur Gurukul, so I got Shyamananda and Premalila to come and join. In those days I was very naive. I didn't know how to treat a householder. And sort of, I think that householders are also like sannyasis. They can live under a tree for one night and move on to the next one the next day. And but Shyamananda and Premalila were so submissive. They did not, never complained, mm-hmm. although I put them through so many difficulties. Don't worry, Shyamananda, he is recording it. So, later on when I saw, like, I mean, the life of a householder is so different, especially for a housewife. She needs to set up her domain. and it's especially for women to move. It's very difficult. And often I think about that. Shyamananda was so submissive. Both of them, Shyamananda and Premalila, never even questioned, never even told me that they were facing difficulties because in Mayapur those days the living facilities were very stringent and living facilities were very stringent. There were not so many accommodation facilities. And so anyway, and then I got involved in Abhayacharan project. And there also, that was a very, very demanding project. There also Shamananda and Premalila, I actually told them to join me. And there also, wherever I went, they went with me. And I was traveling all over the world filming. And Shamananda was helping me in script writing, editing, directing. Casting, and then, yeah, first we went to America, right? From India, right? In America, we went to film in America, and then from America, we went back and we set up our filming operation in Hyderabad. Shamananda came with me. And the Hyderabad was nice. Like, we had a nice big house. And we were so... Actually, at that time I was thinking of making Hyderabad the base. But the problem was that in Hyderabad the filming support was not... Although they had many film studios, but filming support, actors, actresses, and other film support like music, things were quite difficult. And then he came to South Africa, and Shamananda found his home finally. That also, I must admit that Shamananda is so responsible because he saw his father-in-law needed some help. And you know, he kind of stayed back here and gave him the support. And also our temple in Cape Town also needed him very much. So, he's a wonderful devotee. And we have also happy to have him in Srila Prabhupada's wonderful family. And this is what Krishna consciousness does. Maybe Shamananda, you can tell me your life before Krishna consciousness.
From Russia, I did physics at the university.
Okay, you did physics.
And at that time, actually, there was a great need for electronic engineers.
Yeah, right, right.
So I converted, I became an engineer.
Okay.
In 1984, I met two of Prabhupada's disciples. And then gradually, over the next 3 years, I went from 1 to 16 rounds.
Oh.
And I joined the movement in 87. I just gave up everything and joined, actually. Just before.
Very good. Your family is in London, or?
A place called Northampton, which is
Northampton,
central of England.
Yeah. They are there? Your parents are still?
Yes, I have three siblings, so they're taking nice care of me.
Oh, okay. How old is your father?
Same as my father-in-law. He's 83 this year.
Okay. How old are you now? This?
I'm 56 today.
56. Mm. Oh, you're a young man. So that's what Krishna consciousness does. It makes one realize about the futility of materialistic pursuits. And it needs a lot of intelligence, actually. It needs an intelligent person to take to Krishna consciousness. Sumedhasaha. Sumedhasa means one who has very advanced, very developed memory and intelligence. Intelligence and memory are related. So, unless and until one is very intelligent, one cannot take to Krishna consciousness. That's why we can't expect that everybody would join the movement. It needs very developed intelligence to take to Krishna consciousness. Because unless and until one realizes the futility of materialistic endeavor, he can't give it up. Because there is some taste, or if not taste, at least there is some allurement, there is some hope for enjoyment. And but the thing is that allurement and hope is illusory. It appears that it is there. It appears to be there, but it is not there. So that's why one needs to have certain degree of intelligence to realize that, to recognize that. It's like when a thirsty traveler in the middle of a desert sees a mirage, he thinks that there is water, and the water gives him the promise of quenching his thirst. The mirage gives him the promise of quenching his thirst. But unless and until one is intelligent, he will not recognize that it's a mirage. More he runs after it, the more it disappears. The more it runs away from him. So that's why, first of all, one needs certain degree of intelligence, and one needs someone to tell him. And then when somebody comes and informs him that, look, this is a mirage, this is not water, and the proof is that you are running after it for so long and you still could not quench your thirst. In a way, that's what Prabhupada told me during one of our first meetings. Prabhupada told me, for so long you are trying to enjoy, but you can see that you are still not satisfied. Just offer this life to Krishna. You are trying to enjoy and you see that you are not satisfied, so just offer this life. And see what happens. And then he, for a long time, he explained how this material nature is, how illusory this material nature is. Where we are trying to enjoy, but instead of enjoyment, what we get is suffering. So, and that left a very deep impression in my mind. And practically this became one of the most profound instructions of Srila Prabhupada to me. For so many lifetimes you are trying to enjoy and you can see that you are still not satisfied. So offer this life to Krishna. And then finally Prabhupada said, even if nothing happens, what's the loss? It's just one life out of so many. So just offer it to Krishna and see what happens. And I'm seeing what happens when you offer your life. Like every day you get more and more convinced. Every day you get newer and newer realizations. And your conviction becomes stronger. you see that this material nature is so, so illusory. The other day I gave in Rath Yatra, I was asked to give 3 lectures, 3 different days. The first lecture was dream and reality. And the Vedic information, the Vedas actually remind us or lets us know that not only when we fall asleep, we dream. This world is also a dream. This is a dream. When the soul sleeps, then one is subjected to this dream. The soul becomes, when a soul is asleep, when his soul is forgetful of Krishna, then he is subjected to this dream or material involvement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a very nice expression for that. The enjoyment sorrow, he's saying something like, they are just illusory. But the soul that sleeps concludes that it has a share in them. Soul that sleeps thinks that it has a share in them. In 11th canto also, there is a statement. Maybe, can you get my iPad? It's a very beautiful statement. Actually, that I made that statement to be the basis of this point. How this material world is a dream, according to the Vedic injunctions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a beautiful poem called Shadagrahi Vaishnava. How many of you read that? And in that he first points out that how he feels bad. He alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. The dazzling, deadly, liquid forms their hearts forever. That is our situation in the material nature. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that, alas, I pity them, those who are trying to spend their life in festive mirth and joy. In this material nature, trying to enjoy here. And then he says, how our condition is like a bunch of drunkard. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. The slaves of wine, meaning a drunkard. He can never rise from what we call disgrace. In this way, then he goes on to say, this flesh is not our own, alas. This flesh, the body made of flesh and bones, is not our own. Although we are saying that this is me, but this body is not ours. The flesh that the flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. This mortal frame is actually a chain with which we are bound to this material nature. mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. The soul that is that has been confined, we are bound in this body for what? For our previous wrongs. Soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise again. So beautiful. He does, I think, 19 stanzas. Then he says, forget the past that sleeps and never, future dream at all. Live with the time that are with thee, and progress thee shall. Forget the past. What's the point in dwelling in the past? It's gone. Forget the past that sleeps and never future dream at all. Don't dream about your future. Live with the time that are with thee, meaning the time that is with you, that's the present. That is what counts. And that is real progress. Progress thee shall. And then last two stanzas are very beautiful. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. So brilliant, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Okay, this is one statement, let me. Just as a dream is a merely creation of one's intelligence, but has no actual substance. Just as dream doesn't have any actual substance. Similarly, material lamentation, illusion, happiness, distress, and the acceptance of the material body under the influence of Maya are all creations of illusory energy. In other words, material existence has no essential reality. Then let me see. Okay, this is also another one. I mean, one who is enlightened in self-realization, although living within the material body, sees himself as transcendental to the body. Just as one who has arisen from a dream gives up identification with the dream body. So just as when you wake up from a dream, we don't identify with the dream body anymore. Similarly, when you wake up in the spiritual reality, this body or this existence will become, will not have any identification or will not have any relation. However, a foolish person, although not identical with his material body, but transcendental to it, thinks himself to be situated in the body, just as one who is dreaming sees himself as situated in an imaginary body. When you dream, don't we have a body? What kind of body is that? Premalila? When you are dreaming, we have a body? What body is that? Subtle body. That's a real body, subtle body. And that body will stay. Even when the gross body will die, that body will be there. And that body will carry us to our next body. There, in one of the verses I'm trying to find out, Krishna is saying that only when, just like we dream when we fall asleep, right? Asleep to this material reality, then we dream, right? Similarly, when we are asleep to the spiritual reality, we are subjected to this dream. This is from the 11th canto, 11th chapter. Krishna is instructing Uddhava. The symptoms of conditioned and liberated living entities. This is a part of Uddhav Gita. Just as Krishna told Arjun, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna told Uddhav. He gave his instructions in about also about 18 chapters of 11th canto, Krishna's instructions have been described as Uddhav Gita. I'll be giving a seminar on Uddhav Gita when I go to America. In September when I come, probably that time also I'll give a seminar. It's very beautiful. Like, it's actually the culmination of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the beginning. Beginning of Krishna's instruction. And Uddhav Gita is actually the ultimate culmination of that instruction. Like here, Krishna very specifically, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna did not give a very clear understanding of Bhakti Yoga. But in Uddhav Gita, that understanding becomes very, very clear. Bhagavad Gita, in a way, is mostly dealing with Karma Yoga. Krishna in bits and pieces speaks about bhakti, that's the supremacy of bhakti, but doesn't very clearly give that instruction. But in Uddhava Gita he does that. Like what he says in Bhagavad Gita about Ashtanga Yoga, and then at the end of this it's saying Yoginam Upi Sarvesham Madgate Nantaratmana Shraddhavat Bhajate Jomam Same Yukta Tamamata. Who is the best yogi? The verse, in the previous verse, Krishna actually told Tapasibhya Adhika Yogi Gyanibhascha Matyadhika Karmibhascha Matyadhika Gyanibhascha Adhika Yogi Tasmat Yogi Bhavarjuna. The yogi is superior to a tapasya, a person performing austerities. A yogi is superior to a karmi, a person engaged in karma yoga. A yogi is superior to a jnana yogi, who is aspiring for impersonal liberation. Therefore you become a yogi. But then after that Krishna says, of all the yogis, yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana, whose mind has become constant, completely fixed in me, and shraddhavan bhajate jomam, one who is serving me with great love and devotion, same yukta tamamata, he is most intimately connected. The purpose of yoga is to become connected to Krishna. So who is most intimately connected to Krishna? The one who is engaged in devotional, loving devotional service to Krishna. So in bits and pieces, Krishna is actually making that point. Teshang satata yuktanan bhajatang pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam. This buddhi yogam tam is actually bhakti yoga. Jena mam upajantite, by which you can come to me. That's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having a conversation with Ramananda Roy, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking questions to Ramananda Roy, when Ramananda Roy was coming with this kind of conclusion, Varnashram Dharma, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, renunciation of karma, Mahaprabhu rejected them one after another. Not this, not this, not this. Until he came to the point of pure devotion. That's how pure devotion is actually the ultimate goal of life. Ultimate spiritual object. In the spiritual platform also there are different grades of elevation. But this is the highest. Devotional service. So we all are very fortunate that somehow or other, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have found this process. Devotional service. Very happy that we are in ISKCON, a beautiful family created by Srila Prabhupada. We are so fortunate to have such a wonderful family. Especially I feel so fortunate. Wherever I go I find a family. Like different. At least, you know, quite often I go to different places. Like yesterday I was in Durban, today I'm in Cape Town. In Durban I had a beautiful family, and here I also found a beautiful family. And one of the members of this family, we are very fortunate to celebrate his birthday today. now the cake is here?
Yeah.
So Shyamananda will cut the cake. Probably all of you know that this is the house of Raghavan. Unfortunately, Raghavan had to go to Johannesburg today. I knew that he won't be here. But still I came and he insisted that I stayed here. Yesterday, the whole day I spent with him. Or rather, we spent with him. And Raghavan sends his best wishes and to all of you, and he expresses his apology for not being here. He had a board meeting today. And you know how they're having this meeting? They rented one whole train. There is some special train, I think, they have, yeah?
Blue train.
And the whole train has been booked up, and for 2 days they'll be in the train, and they'll be meeting in the train. And the train also has restaurant car or dining car. So, but in some places they will get down and have lunch. They will stop some places. But otherwise, most of the times they will be eating in the train itself. In India also they started one train like that. What's it called? That takes to Jaipur?
Jaipur, Rajasthan.
Not Rajasthan. It's a very
fancy. Very opulent train. Very expensive. $1,000 a night.
$1,000. So, where's the cake? And Shyamananda is going to cut. And who is the singer?
We all sing together.
Okay, we all sing together.
Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna dear Shyamananda. Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to Shyamananda. Hare Krishna to you.
Hare
Krishna. He's a jolly good Vaishnav for you. He's a jolly good Vaishnav. For he's a jolly good Vaishnav. And so say all of us. And so say all of us. And so say all of us. For he's a jolly good Vaishnav. For he's a jolly good Vaishnav. For he's a jolly good Vaishnav. Jyoti Mai Prabhu would like to say something.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just want to say a few words about my beloved brother Shyamananda Prabhu. He's one of the most supportive devotees that I've ever come across, and he's helped me so much in my service. He does more service than all of us put together in Cape Town. He's the older of the devotees in terms of age and seniority, but he takes on the most menial services like cooking and serving the devotees, and I'm always inspired by his association. He brought the Bhakti Yoga Society from near collapse to what it is today, a very potent and powerful preaching program in Cape Town. It's actually one of our best preaching programs, and it's all through his grace. He's an erudite scholar and gives the most amazing classes that we've experienced in Cape Town. So we're all very humbled by his association, and we hope that he will lead us in the future. Shyamananda Krishna Prabhu ki.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Shamananda is so exemplary. A Vaishnava by nature is humble, and he always has a wonderful service attitude. And Shamananda's service attitude is so exemplary. Like, although he is so senior, but he is always there to render the most insignificant service. Thank you, Jati. So, should he have the cake first or should he have the prasad first? This is also prasad. Who made this cake? Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, prasadam is here upstairs.
We can
Since everyone.
Yeah. Thank you.